Welcome to KUCB's Year in Review. I'm News Director Stephanie Joyce, and joining me in the studio to recap this year's biggest stories is KUCB reporter Lauren Rosenthal. Hi, Lauren.
Hey, Stephanie.
So 2012 was a big year for Unalaska. We found ourselves in the national spotlight as the staging ground for Shell's Arctic drilling operations. While the project has been in the works for many years, this year the company finally got to drill. But the season got off to a slow start. The company's 20-odd ships started trickling into Unalaska in July and ended up waiting here until the end of August. The hangup was a critical piece of spill response equipment. Without it, Shell couldn't drill for oil.
While the ships were in town, the Noble Discoverer had a high-profile mishap. Locals turned out in droves to photograph the drill ship, which very much looked like it had run aground, although subsequent inspections of the hull showed that it didn't. A local charter captain, Christian LaFosse, took a now-famous picture of the rig, and soon after, he told KUCB how it looked to him.
If the captain would have asked them to put the gangway down, he could have walked to the post office.
Meanwhile, down in Washington State, the critical spill response equipment was failing its sea trials. Seattle's public radio station, KUOW, turned up emails between the officials who had to test the equipment, one of whom said the test ended when the equipment was, quote, crushed like a beer can in the water. But despite the delays, Shell finally made it up to the Arctic in late August and drilled the beginnings of two wells, which they're hoping to come back to this summer.
Shell wasn't the only one having trouble in the Arctic this year. When Nome ran out of fuel last winter, an oil tanker helmed by Russian sailors and accompanied by the nation's only functional icebreaker headed north from the port of Dutch Harbor. And they were headed into record-breaking Bering Sea ice. The ships made it through okay, but the ice caused plenty of headaches for the snow crab fleet later in the season.
That's right. At least one crab boat got caught in the ice that surrounded the Pribilof Islands all the way into June. On his way out to rescue the vessel, tug captain Dave Childers reflected on the season.
I've had my handed to me a few times up here this year. I've got a nice dose of humility going. Thank you.
The record-breaking ice didn't dampen on Alaska's enthusiasm for participating in Arctic decision-making. Of the 13 people on the newly formed Arctic Policy Commission, three have ties to Unalaska, and one is our city manager, Chris Laddick. And this summer, Unalaska's mayor, Shirley Marquardt, was a speaker at the Arctic Imperative Summit in Girdwood. She actually brought a group back with her to tour Unalaska.
Yeah, one of them was Unalaska's new state representative, Bob Herron. After redistricting, Unalaska's legislators moved around, and Herron traded places with Bryce Edgman. That left the Aleutians without representation on both the House and Senate finance committees, so getting money for projects in the region might be interesting going forward. Federal dollars into the state are also dwindling, but Accutane was still able to wrap up some major federally backed infrastructure projects this year. The new airport on Akoon Island opened in September, and after prolonged negotiations, started receiving scheduled service in November. The hovercraft that runs between the airport and the village is still working out some kinks, but it's been running fairly regularly. I actually got a chance to ride the hovercraft this summer, and the pilot, Jim Howard, has a pretty good description of how the flight feels.
What it's like is you take a Chinese wok, the cooking wok, you turn it upside down so that the round part is up. You put a marble on top of that wok, and that is basically what you're trying to do is keep that marble up there. You got to hold that wok so that that marble doesn't fall off.
Well, people were skeptical about hovercraft service in the Aleutians, given the cost and what the weather is like here. There's also been a lot of criticism of the new harbor in Accutane. It got more than $30 million in federal stimulus money and other grants. And one of the things that's really controversial is that the harbor is inaccessible except by boat. So if Accutane builds a road to connect the docks to the village, it's going to cost about $20 million because it would have to be blasted out of the cliffs. Really, it's been a crazy year on Accutane. In early summer, a solo sailor named Remus Malesius wrecked, and he ended up stranded there for almost 2 weeks.
Tried to do flares, you know, but fog, and I try, you know, mirrors to planes, to use mirrors mine. I try to climb mountains, you know, waving, you know, nobody can see me.
A Coast Guard helicopter eventually gave Malesius a lift back to Unalaska.
Almost 300 years ago, another shipwreck won Rat Island, its unflattering moniker. But this summer, the island got back its original Unangan name, Hawarach, which means entry or welcome. And another proud moment for the revival of Unangan culture happened this fall. Survivors and descendants of the lost village of Attu gathered in Anchorage for a reunion. Christine Keel, who only recently discovered her Unangan roots, said it was powerful to meet all of her long-lost relatives.
My desire for the culture has been set on fire, more so than it was, and I hope that my enthusiasm and desire to be part of my people and a part of the Alaskan culture, it maybe starts a little spark for somebody else that's born and raised here and isn't on fire like I am.
A few perennial issues flared up again this year. The science behind a ban on fishing in the Western Aleutians worked its way through the court system. Eventually, it ended up at the Ninth Circuit, where lawyers for the federal government maintained that the bans are legal and they're necessary to protect stellar sea lions. We can expect a lot more on this in 2013. The same goes for Cleveland Volcano. We counted 22 flare-ups, explosions, puffs, belches, blasts, rumbles, and spouts in 2012.
Basically, we had to find a lot of ways to report that Cleveland is still a very active volcano. Closer to home, there was a less innocuous discharge down at the docks. The processing vessel Excellence came into Unalaska this July with an ammonia leak, which injured workers and prompted a large emergency response. It was a steep learning curve for some of the officials in charge who'd only been in town for a week or two. The ship was eventually fixed, but it got slapped with some pretty big fines. Meanwhile, the city of Unalaska evaded some of its own very large fines by settling a lawsuit with the EPA over wastewater discharge. The EPA and the city ultimately agreed to a $340,000 fine, down from $150 million. But to keep up with federal standards, the city also started upgrading its water and wastewater utilities and the landfill. The construction is going to drain city coffers, and big utility rate increases were a hot topic around town.
So is crime. When people landed in trouble this year in Unalaska, it sometimes made national news, thanks to Police Sergeant Jennifer Shockley. She writes on Alaska's police blotter with zest and style, which has gotten the blotter picked up and republished very far and wide.
I can only imagine that somebody who's never been here would think that this was some kind of Twilight Zone town where every form of human oddity and absurdity exists all at once, exacerbated by alcohol.
On the other hand, Unalaska resident Pam Oss gained international fame with a viral video of some of Unalaska's most common sights, a fox and an eagle relaxing on the back porch next to Oss's cats.
Mr. Eagle keeps calling me. Oh, and then I have a fox. He's very quiet. And then I got the cat out here. And the other cat.
While viewers around the world marveled at the animal friendship, in Unalaska, everyone's biggest question is how Oss managed to upload anything to YouTube. A group of enterprising kids set out to make a fortune this summer with a lemonade stand. Their classic business was structured around a decidedly modern goal.
An Android tablet. Just like an iPad, and it's smaller and cheaper. iPads are like $500 and Android tablets are $89.99.
And finally, we wrap up this year in review with a farewell. Pen Air retired its Grumman Goose, the last one in commercial service, in October, marking the end of an era. Here's local musician Sharon O'Malley helping us say goodbye to the Goose and to 2012. Happy New Year.
The Goose, she's a jewel in the sky. She goes places that the others wouldn't dare to fly. Soon she'll be a relic of a day gone by. When she could make that land.